Today's shir is Masecht Chulin Daf Lamed Dalet. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Belezer, Amar Boishir. We had learned in our previous shir the Mishnah. The Mishnah had taught us that if somebody shechts an animal and no blood comes out during that act of shechita, so we know that in order for food to be able to be susceptible for tumah, Mukhshal Kavotumen has to become wet. So the Mishnah taught us that here where the blood did not come out, the animal, even though it's a kosher animal, may be eaten, wasn't Mukhshal Kavotumen. And therefore, even though the halacha is, as we have been learning, Stam Yodayim Shniyasayim, the hands that are not washed are Midrabonon, considered Tamei, to the degree of a stain with tuma. Here, that meat, because it didn't become wet, would not be tummy. And as the Gemara began, with no less than four proofs to teach us that that our Mishnah must be speaking about chulin. And then the Gemara asked, if our Mishnah must be speaking about chulin, we know when we speak about degrees of tumah, the Mishnah asked, the Gemara asked, the lowest degree that tumah by chulin ever goes to is a sheni l'tumah. By truma, the Gemara said, it goes to a shlishi l'tumah, and by kodesh, it goes to a revi. But the Gemara's question was that if our Mishnah, as we said, has, and the Gemara brought four proofs to that point, is talking about chulin, so even if somebody's hands are sheni l'tumah, and even if this meat would have been mukhsh l'kabel tumah, it shouldn't change the fact that it doesn't make a difference, because as we just said, something which is a sheni l'tumah is the lowest degree it could ever go by. It's the lowest degree that it could ever go by chulin, and that's where we begin our shir today, trying to understand what is the case of our Mishnah? How to understand our Mishnah? And therefore says the Gemara, Amar Belezer, Amar Boishir, Hacha, our Mishnah is referring to Chulin that was made Shinas Altaris Kodesh Eskinin. As the Mepharshim explained, there were people that would treat Chulin, regular Chulin meat, like it was Kodesh. The reason someone would do this is because they wanted to make sure that when they're eating chulin, when they're eating kodesh meat, they shouldn't make the mistake of chas v'sholem. They shouldn't chas v'sholem come to make the mistake of eating that kodesh betumah. So in a way, to avoid this concern was by treating even regular chulin meat as kodesh. It's interesting to point out that I saw that the Paiskim discussed that there were individuals that were always makbid about treating Kodesh that way. And the question that they ask is, if these individuals were makbid to treat Kodesh that way, how could they ever, if they had relations with their wife, with their wives on Friday night, and even if they went to the mikveh Shabbos morning, they would be tefula yoyim, people who just went to the mikveh, that we know a person that just goes to the mikveh has to wait till Harif Shemesh, till the day is over, to be considered tahor. How would these people be able to eat challah on Shabbos? We know that by every one of the Suda Shabbos, one has to eat bread. And how could they eat bread by Suda Shabbos if they were tameh and they're treating everything al taras akodesh? So they reverse and explain, and we mentioned this point in our previous year, that may peiros, fruit juice, are not machshir to make something mukhshir kabel tumah, and they would therefore have to eat on Shabbos bread that was made with mei peiros. This is actually a proof that bread that's made with mei peiros is considered full-fledged bread, that you make a hamotzi on it, and you could be yotzeh suda Shabbos with that bread. But again, back to our Gemara. Rav Elazar Rav Oishi is suggesting that our Mishnah's following the opinion of
Amish is talking about Chulin Shinasa al Taras HaKadosh, and it's not following the opinion of the wife of Yeshua. The Farshim point out that why does our Mishnah speak in the negative, that it's the like of Yeshua? Shouldn't the Mishnah have spoken in the positive, as we're going to see, it's representing the opinion of Rabbi Lozer? So I saw two answers to this question. One answer is, because we know throughout Shas, there Rabbi Lozer is Shamuti here, Shamuti, and since Rabbi Lozer is a Shamuti, they wanted to avoid saying that we're following the opinion of Rabbi Lozer, who's from the Talmidei Beis Shammai, whose opinion is typically not followed. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the fact that Rabbi Lozer holds his opinion, that we're going to see, that by Chulin Shinas al Taras HaKadosh, we could have a Sheni and a Shlishi, as we're going to see in a minute, is not explicit in Rabbi Lozer's statement. The only way we know, the only reason we know that that is the opinion of Rabbi Lozer is because we see what Rabbi Yeshua says, and by seeing and learning what Rabbi Yeshua says, we're able to extrapolate what Rabbi Lozer holds. And therefore, the Gemara says it's not Rabbi Yeshua, it's Rabbi Lozer. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, Rabbi Lozer says, "Oichel oichel rishon." If somebody eats a food which is a rishon l'tuma, he becomes a rishon. If he eats a food which is a sheni, he becomes a sheni. And if he eats a food which is a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. Rashi and most Rishonim say that he has to eat a chatzi achilas pras. That means he has to eat the shear of two bayim for this halacha to apply. There are Rishonim who say that even if he just eats a kabeya of a rishon or a sheni or a shlishi, Rebbe Lezer will hold that he gets the status of a rishon, sheni, or shlishi. The reason Chazal made such a gzeira was they were concerned that if somebody, while eating tamei food, may drink truma beverage, and that truma beverage will be in his mouth at the same time as the tamei diga food, by saying that anyone who eats tamei food becomes tamei, that will prevent him from eating, even touching truma, and certainly from drinking truma. And of course we know that we have to be concerned that truma should not become tamei. So Rabbi Lozer says that the person becomes the same status as the food that he actually ate. Furthermore, Tosfos asks that if Chazal indeed had this concern, why did Chazal, why according to Rabbi Lozer, does he say that if somebody eats the food that's a rishon or tumah, he becomes a rishon? They could have accomplished the same thing by saying that he becomes a sheni, because a sheni or tumah is also an issue by truma. So Tosfos says, because as we're going to learn in a moment in the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer holds that the person who by a sheni, we would have to make him a sheni, not a shlishi. So Chazal, for consistency purposes, always kept it the same, that you always become the status of what you ate. If you ate a rishon, you become a rishon, sheni, sheni, shlishi, shlishi, even though the same goal that Chazal were trying to achieve, according to Rabbi Lezer, could have been accomplished by saying somebody who ate a rishon is a sheni. Rabbi Shua, however, says, "Ha'ichel oichel rishon sheni." Whether he ate a food that's a rishon or sheni, he is a sheni. Shlishi, if he eats a shlishi, he's a sheni l'kodesh. As far as kodesh is concerned, he's considered a sheni. As far as truma is concerned, he's not sheni l'kodesh, but ain't sheni l'truma. But as far as truma is concerned, He isn't considered a sheni. However, as Rashi says, he's still not going to be allowed to eat truma, but he's not considered a shlishi. And as Rishonim point out, because by truma, shlishi is the furthest degree of tuma, the lowest degree of tuma, and makes Rabbi Shua the point. when do I have this gezeira? Only b'chulin shenasa al taras truma. Chulin, that person is treating his chulin food like truma. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua is saying his rule strictly al taras truma in. When somebody's treating his food like taras truma, al taras hakodesh loy. But not by chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh, because it is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. There is no concern by chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh to make a shlishi. And as the Mefarshim explained, the reason Rabbi Yeshua was more lenient by chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh, there's two explanations I saw in the Rishonim. One explanation I saw in the Rishonim is because Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is that you can't have chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh. You could only have real kodesh, but food that's chulin, that you should choose to treat it like kodesh when it actually isn't kodesh, there is no such status in halacha. That's one pshat that I saw in the Rishonim. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that kodesh wasn't that common. There wasn't that much carbon food, kodesh food available. So as we started our shiur today, that there should be individuals that should treat chulin, like kodesh, was unlikely, given that the concern about kodesh is so infrequent. Truma, which is much more common and much more, and not just eaten as kabbadas, and not just eaten in the base of Mikdash, there were more individuals that treated chulin altaras hatruma. Ask the Gemara. So we've said that we can't say, as we just said, that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, because as we just said this moment, according to Rabbi Yeshua, there really is no concept of chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh. But there is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, a concept of chulin shenasu altaras truma. So ask the Gemara, why don't we say that our Mishnah is speaking about chulin shenasu altaras truma, which is a concept that Rabbi Yeshua agrees exists, and therefore our Mishnah will even be able to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Answers the Gemara, lo sakadaita. It doesn't make sense to say that our Mishnah is talking about chulin shenasu altaras truma. Because what is our Mishnah talking about, says the Gemara? Our Mishnah is talking about basar, about meat. Now, meat, the truma, there is no meat that is made in truma. Truma only comes from produce. Diba truma, if we're talking about chulin shenasu altaras truma, basar meyika. So we're saying, elamai, we're going to say that our Mishnah is talking about chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, even though we won't be able to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Ask the Gemara, b'kotshet, if we're going to say that we're talking about chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, chai b'kotshet meyika, as we learned in our Mishnah yesterday, our Mishnah spoke about the shechita of behema chaya v'oif. Ask the Gemara, we know that there's no kabbonis that are brought from chayis. So if there are no kabbonis that are brought from chayis, there shouldn't be any concept of chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh bechaya. Yet we're saying that our Mishnah is talking about chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, even though our Mishnah is talking about chayis. Answers the Gemara. Correct. There is no chayim meat that's brought for a carbon, but it is meat. And therefore, says the Gemara, basar, but basar michlef. One type of meat with another type of meat can be confused. And therefore, even though technically there is no kotshim from chayis, we treat chayim meat, chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh. But nobody's going to treat peiris as chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, because nobody's going to get confused between a fruit and meat. Basar v'peir loy michlef. And actually, I saw that the Paiskim used this concept of this type of confusion between basar and chayim meat, behemah meat and chayim meat, versus not confusing basar v'peir. in two areas of halacha. The halacha teaches us, say the Paiskim, that one should not buy meat for Pesach and say that he's buying this meat for Pesach. Because by saying that, there's a real concern that you may end up, that it looks like you're being magdish, kachim, b'chutz, that you're bringing kachim outside in the Beis HaMikdash, now in a time when we unfortunately no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. So the question that the Paiskim discuss is, if somebody buys chayim meat, is that concern exist? And there are Paiskim that say, that given that our Gemara that says, basar b'chayim meat, can get confused, that you should not, when even if you want to buy chayim meat, he should be careful not to say he's buying it for Pesach, he should be careful he's saying it for Yontif. Similar issue is that we know the Torah, we're going to spend time later in our Masechta discussing this, is very strict about Basar B'Cholov. You can't mix meat and milk. Nor do we eat or drink dairy products after we eat meat products. Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that if one eats a dairy product, he should wash his hands, rinse his mouth, and wait half an hour or so before he eats a meat product. So the Rambam says that that halacha applies not only by meat but by poultry as well. The Shulchan Aruch, however, quotes the opinion of the Rambam, who says that it's only by meat, not by chicken, not by poultry. And the basis of the Rambam's opinion is because, as we're going to learn later in our Masechta, basar oif b'cholov is not, according to many opinions, asa midraisa. It's only asa midrabbanan. And therefore, we don't have to be so strict by poultry as we are by meat. What is the reason that Ramah, and it's interesting to point out that even in the Sephardi community that usually follows the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, not Ramah, the Machmer on many people with Sephardi Minhagim, a Machmer on even by poultry with meat after, with dairy before poultry. Because our Gemara, our Mishnah taught us that we're categorizing behema, chaya, v'oif, that all will get mixed up together. So we see that all types of meat one can confuse, and we should treat them the same way. And therefore the meaning is that even by poultry, we wash our hands and rinse our mouth and wait a little while before we eat meat. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Chavrayin Amrin Bechulin Shanas Otaris HaKadosh. My colleagues said that the Mishnah is referring to Chulin Shanas Otaris HaKadosh, and because it's talking about Chulin Shanas Otaris HaKadosh, as we just finished saying, the Loi Reb Yeshua, because the way we just finished understanding, according to Reb Yeshua, the halacha will be, there is no concept, this din of Sheni and Shlishi don't apply by Chulin Shanas Atarus HaKadosh, but comments Ula v'Na'amina, but it is my opinion that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. And when Rabbi Yeshua said that his rule is, his opinion is being stated regarding Chulin Shanas Atarus HaKadosh, what he meant to say was Lo Mibayi Kama, and meant to say as follows: certainly by Chulin Shanas Ataras HaKadosh, which are chamiri, which are treated stringently, there he'll hold that there's a concept of shlishi. Ela filu Chulin Shanas Ataras HaTruma, which are not as stringent as Chulin Shanas Ataras HaKadosh, nami isbu shlishi, he will hold that there's a concept of shlishi. So if so, that we're saying Rabbi Shua's ruling is not limited to Chulin Shanas Ataras HaTruma, but it's even by Chulin Shanas Ataras HaKadosh, we're not any more limited to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, but rather we could say that our Mishnah even follows the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, which, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, is something that we would probably prefer to say, given that we try to avoid following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar shamutihi. Says the Gemara, so what Ula is saying is that he and his colleague, Chavraya, disagree over the understanding of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Ask the Gemara, Man Chavraya, who is the colleague that Ula is disagreeing with? That Ula's colleague holds that Rabbi Yeshua said his din only by Chulin Shanas Al Taras Hatruma. And Ula says that Rabbi Yeshua said his din even by Chulin Shanas Al Taras HaKadosh. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bachanahi. It's Rabbi Bachanah. So ask the Mefarshim, why does the Gemara have to say that it's Rabbi Bachanah? Why can't he say, as we said at the beginning of the Shir, that it's Rabbi Elazar, as we began today's shir. The shir began today, the Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Oishia said that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So, because obviously Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Oishia is of the opinion that he set his rule only by Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaTruma. Why does he have to find Rabbi Babachana? So I saw a number of answers. One is because Ula would have never have called Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua Chavraya's colleague, because Ula was a Talmud of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore if he's speaking about colleagues, he certainly is not calling Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua his Rebbe, his colleague. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw, it's something that we referred to at the beginning of our share. It's not that in the way Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Oishia understands the Machloikas Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua, that he sees what they say so explicitly. It's learned implicitly. Whereas, as we're going to learn in a moment, Rabbi Bachana says it clearly that Rabbi Yeshua says his din only by Chulin Shanas HaTaras HaTruma, and Rabbi Elazar says his din even by Chulin Shanas HaTaras HaKadosh. So that's why Rabbi Bachana Ula considers a much better source to make this point with. And the third pshat that I saw is as follows. It's connected to a pshat that I said a moment ago. We said a moment ago that Reb Ula was a Talmud of Reb Elazar Reb Yeshua. And the Paiskim discuss, why is the halacha, if someone is disagreeing with the opinion of his Rebbe in halacha? So there's a real dilemma here. On one hand, when we speak about halacha, one has to follow what the halacha is, and he can't say, well, my Rebbe disagrees. If he disagrees with his Rebbe, and he feels that his opinion is correct, he has to hold what he holds. So what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to say, I disagree with my Rebbe. However, if he has a way of making his point that he's disagreeing with his Rebbe, and the Pais can say that the same halacha would be with his father, by not having to have to say explicitly, I disagree with my father or my Rebbe, but being able to say I disagree with someone else, but the same point is made, what his opinion is, it's a much better way of making his point, because there's no concern of kibud av or of kibud rav. So instead of Ula saying, I disagree with my Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Oishia, which is a concern of lack of respect, a lack of kibud, he preferred to say, I disagree with Rabbi Babachana, who was a colleague and not a Rebbe, and therefore much easier to make a statement that I disagree with him. And the Gemara says what Rabbi Babachana said. Bama Rabbi Babachana Omer Rabbi Yochan. Maya Hadri Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua La'adadi. How did Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua have the debate over the halach that we began our shiur? Says the Gemara. Amalai Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar says to Yeshua, Matsinu Oichel Chomer Mena Oichel. We find in halacha that somebody who eats something that's tamei is treated more severely than the food itself. And the Gemara explains itself. Halacha that we learned many times. Dilu nevelus oif tar b'chutz. Were somebody to touch or carry the nevel of an oif tahar, the halacha is loy metamei. It doesn't become tamei. Whereas ila oichla, if somebody eats nevelus oif tahar, metamei begadim, a base of Belial. He becomes Tomei, not only becomes Tomei, even the clothing he wears is Tomei. Anu, therefore he says, Heich lo nasa oichel kamakel. So therefore, I too say that somebody, as we began this year, eats a rishon. He becomes a rishon, and similarly by sheni and shlishi, the person who eats something that's tamei should at least acquire the same degree of tuma. Should at least acquire the same degree of tuma as the food that he ate itself. How does Rabbi Shua defend himself? Isn't Rabbi Lezer's raya a great raya that somebody who eats tuma should at least acquire the same degree of tuma as of the food that he ate? Rabbi Shua, Menevelas Oiftar Loi Gemirin. We don't learn from Menevelas Oiftar the Chiddush. It's a Chiddush because normally tuma is only transmitted when it's visible. Tumah space astarim, tumah that we don't see, is typically not considered tumah. And here we have a very unique situation that the tumah is being ingested, it's being eaten, it's not being seen, and yet it could cause tumah. How does Rebbe Lezer defend himself? So I saw three pshatim, a few pshatim in the Achroinim. One pshat is that Rebbe Lezer says that even if we'll say that tumah normally through not being seen is not considered tumah, certainly tumah of eating is a very high level of tumah. Because when you eat tumah, you become tumah because the food becomes part of you. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer says that the tumah of eating should be considered a serious tumah. Another pshat that the Achroyim, the Maloy Aroyim suggest is that even though this is indeed a chiddush, and in halacha we know that we don't learn from a concept which is a chiddush, that's only, says the Malay Roim, when we're learning with a minyan av, a mamitsinu. But when we learn a kalvachomer may be learned from a chiddush. And a third pshat, which the Asvin Daraisa of Yosef Engel and a sefer Asvin Daraisa suggests, is that there's a very fundamental machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua. We learned it, and we will learn it many times, that Nevelas Oiftar has a very unique type of tumah, that when you eat the Nevelas Oiftar, you become tumah. Now the question that the Asvin Daraisa discusses is, what type of tumah is this? Is this a tumas maga, or is it a tumas achila? Reb Yeshua, says the Asvin Daraisa, considers it a tumas maga. But maga, we know, what is the definition of the word maga? Touching. So to say eating, that's the way you accomplish maga, is a chiddush. And therefore Reb Yeshua says, we can't learn from this tumah to other areas of tumah. However, Reb Lezer holds that this is a regular tumas achila. And tumas achila, as we said a moment ago, becoming tamei because you ate something tamei is certainly not a chiddush, and therefore Rabbi Lezer says it's not considered a chiddush, and therefore that somebody becomes tamei through eating a serious level of tumah is not a chiddush and can be used as a source in halakha. And furthermore, says Rabbi Yeshua, elamitzinu, we find shamaychel charmanoychel, actually that touching tumah should be considered more serious than eating tumah. What's his raya? Dilu maichu, a food becomes tamei b'kabeya. Achlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand what this means. Rashi says that for a food to transmit tumah to other food, it only has that ability when it's the shear of a kabeya. Tosfos says, not only does food only have the ability to transmit food tumah when it's the shear kabeya, Tosfos holds that food doesn't become tumah unless it's the shear of a kabeya. Where do we get the shear beya? So the Gemara Masechta Yuma explains, because the Torah, when it speaks about tumah food, uses the word mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel. So the Gemara over there explains that oichel habami oichel, food that comes from another food. And what is the example of food that comes from another food? An egg. Another explanation is oichel shenachelos bebas achas, food that can be eaten one time. And Chazal determined that you can eat the shear of a bay at one time. Whereas says Taisu, it says Rabbi Shua, v'oichel, whereas somebody eats tamei food is not tamei, add the oichel k'chatzi pras. No, it's food itself becomes tamei, or at least can only transmit tamei when it's the shear of a kebaya. But somebody who eats food that's tamei doesn't become tamei, which is until he eats a k'chatzi pras, which is double, the shear of two kebaya. V'onu, and therefore says Rabbi Yeshua, hech nasa oichel k'macho, how should we treat, how do you want to treat somebody eating, which is much harder to make tamei, as we just explained, like the food itself? And the Rishonim ask that once Rabbi Yeshua didn't agree with Rabbi Lezer's concept of learning from the Velus Oif Tahor, why do you have to go further and make this point, Shmetzinu Machel Chomer Mina Oichel? So the Shita answers, because the din of Nevelus Oif Tor is a din d'oraisa, and Rabbi Shua is making the point, if we have an option, should we learn halacha from a d'oraisa d'gedin, or from a d'rabbanan d'gedin? It makes more sense to learn it from a d'rabbanan d'gedin, because we're speaking about d'rabbanan. Or another way of saying this teretz is, this subject about the food becoming tamei is the exact issue that we're discussing. The veil of tor is not the issue that we're discussing in our shiur today. Rabbi Lezer, why doesn't Rabbi Lezer agree with Rabbi Shua that this raya is a much better raya? Says tumim shiurim l'gemirim. Shiurim are unique concepts in halacha. And the halacha of when something becomes tamei should not be learned from the shiurim of how much you need to become tamei. Void, and Rabbi Lezer makes a point to Rabbi Yeshua. Lidvarecha. I don't understand what you're saying, says Rabbi Lezer to Rabbi Yeshua. Sha'ata oimer, you said, arishin sheni yofat oimer. I understand very well that you said that somebody who eats a rishon becomes a sheni. Because that's the constant practice that we find by tumah, that it always goes down a step from a rishon to a sheni. But I don't understand sheni, sheni lamali. So why are you saying that if somebody eats a sheni, he should become a sheni? Following your line of reasoning, somebody who eats a sheni should become a shlishi. Yet Rabbi Yeshua at the beginning of our shir said that somebody who eats a sheni becomes a shlishi. To which Rabbi Shua replies, Amalai, there is a concept that a sheni, we do find that a concept where a sheni oitz a sheni aydei mashkin. That means that if the halacha teaches us that if a sheni food touches another food that has a wet surface, so what happens is that liquid on the surface of the second food becomes a rishon, and then the food that liquid touches becomes a sheni. So therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, since we have a precedent where one sheni food could turn another sheni, could turn another food into a sheni, that's when Chazal said, when somebody eats tamei food, which is a sheni, he also becomes a sheni. Amaloi, says Rabbi Lezer to Rabbi Yeshua, you can't bring a raya from that case. Because in the case you just mentioned, as we explained, it's because the liquid that's on the second food becomes a rishon. The Tana, as the Mishnah said, kol ha-poisel b'truma, anything that makes truma posel, because we know, as we said yesterday, in these halachas there are two different words. There's a word called tuma, and there's a word called poisel. Tuma means it has the ability to transmit tuma further. Pasul means it disqualifies, but it goes no further. A sheni in truma is paisel, because it's going to make a shlishi, and a shlishi, as we've been saying, is the final stop by truma. It doesn't go further. Kol ha-paisel truma, metamim, so it's another way of saying a sheni, metamim mashkenli is tchila. If they touch liquids, a sheni that touches liquids, that liquid become a rishon. Chutz, there's only one exception, mitfil yoin. If somebody went to the mikveh on that day, he's not completely tar until Harif Shemesh, but he's not that tumma, and although he's not allowed to touch tummy, he's not allowed to touch truma, if he touches a liquid, that liquid will not become a rishon. Voy. So therefore, says Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Shua, this case of a sheni making another food, a sheni, it's not that the food is making the other food a sheni, it's the sheni is making the mashkin a rishon, and the mashkin in turn is making the food a sheni. So there is no concept in halacha that a sheni makes a sheni. And furthermore, sheni, shlishi, sheni lama. Why do you say that somebody who eats a shlishi becomes a sheni? What you're saying now, says Rabbi Elazar to Yeshua, is even more difficult to understand. Usually, as we've been learning, you always go a step down. And here, he goes a step up. Amalai, to which Rabbi Yeshua replies, Af ani leimati ela betruma. I said my rule that somebody who eats a shleishi becomes a sheni in regards to kodesh, it's regarding someone who's eating the food, he's eating chulin shenasu ataris truma. So even though the person to a degree is watching the tahara of the food, but he's only watching it shetaharosoi tumei etzel kodesh. As we will be learning in our shiurim, we're going to be learning in our shiurim that somebody who watches for tumah of kodesh is a much more serious level than somebody who's watching for truma. And therefore, as far as kodesh is concerned, we have to be concerned that his watching is not a proper watching. And that, says Rabbi Yeshua, is exactly what I meant. I'm referring to an individual who's only being careful about chulin, shenasa, paris, truma. For kodesh, such an individual we consider tamei, and therefore the food of the truma standard, that is a shlishi, becomes, as far as kodesh standard is concerned, a sheni. But what do we see from here? What we see from here is that this explanation of Rabbi Yeshua's position is completely based, as I just said, on him saying that I'm talking about an individual who's only being makbid, that is, he's only being careful that his chulin should be made ataras hatruma, and he's not being careful that his food should be made ataras hakodesh. So now Ula's point is very well understood. Ula said, my colleagues explained Rabbi Yeshua that Rabbi Yeshua's position is speaking only about chulin shenasa taharas hatruma. And that's why he could not be, as we said earlier in our shir, the Tan of our Mishnah. Ula, however, says that that is not the basis of Rabbi Yeshua's explanation, and therefore he says Rabbi Yeshua could be speaking as well by chulin shenasa taharas hakodesh, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua could be the Tan of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yanai. Ha'oichel shlishi shel chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh, nasa guf sheni l'kodesh. He says that even chulin that's prepared ataras hakodesh is considered tomei as far as real kodesh is concerned. The concept that he's saying is very similar to the concept that we just explained. That just like chulin shenasa ataras hatruma is considered tamei in comparison to Chulun Shanasu Al Taras HaKadosh. So he says that Chulun Shanasu Al Taras HaKadosh is considered Tamei in comparison to real Kadosh. Chaychu Shlishi Shachulun Shanasu Al Taras HaKadosh. Therefore, Nasa Guf Sheni L'Kadosh, because we're concerned that he didn't watch it properly. As the Gemara, Eisei Rav Zeil Rav Asi Shlishi Sheni L'Kadosh, then Sheni L'Truma. Rishua said that if somebody eats food that's a Shlishi, he becomes a Sheni in regards to Kadosh, but not in regards to Truma. When did he say it? Strictly, B'chulun Shanasu Al Taras HaTruma. Doesn't it seem that he's saying this rule strictly by Chulun that's Nas Al Taras HaTruma? Al Taras Truma is in Al Taras Kodesh Loi. And it seems that Rabbi Shu would say that if you had Chulun that was made Al Taras HaKodesh, we don't have to be worried in comparison to Kodesh. And says the Gemara, the way to understand it is Lemmy Body Kama. That certainly that was food that was made Al Taras HaKodesh. Certainly, food that was made al taras haKodesh is going to be considered tamei as far as Kodesh is concerned. But I'm even saying, because there it's real Kodesh, I'm even saying my rule by chulun shanas al taras haTruma in comparison to chulun shanas al taras haKodesh, where both of them are chulun. Ask the Gemara, but let's read Rabbi Yeshua's words. V'af ani lo yamarti el b'truma kama. Didn't Rabbi Yeshua explicitly say that he's saying his halacha by strictly that he's saying his halacha only in the case of chulun shanas al taras haTruma, no other place? Yet you're saying that he's saying it even by chulun shanas al taras haKodesh in comparison to Kodesh? Says the Gemara, indeed, it's a machloikis amaroyim alibud Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Bavachana said that Rabbi Yeshua said it only by chulun shanas al taras haTruma in comparison to truma shanas al taras to chulun shanasu al taras haKodesh. Rav Asi will hold that not only did he say it by chulun shanas al taras haTruma in comparison to chulun shanas al taras haKodesh, but he even said it in chulun shanas al taras haKodesh in comparison to Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula. If somebody eats a shlishi shanas al taras truma, such an individual, even though shlishi we know doesn't go further by truma, may not eat truma. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmalon, what is Ula teaching us which we haven't learned in a Mishnah? Rabbi Shu just said, shlishi, if you eat a food that's a shlishi, he's a sheni l'kodesh, then sheni l'truma. The chulun shanasu a taras truma. And what the Rabbi Shua is saying to say? That it's a sheni who do I have it. He's not a sheni. Hashlishi have it. He's going to be a shlishi. And if he's going to be a shlishi, the halacha is, somebody who is a shlishi may not eat truma. Answers the Gemara, imahi, if we only had the words of Rabbi Shua, have a mina, l'sheni have it, l'shlishi have it. That somebody who eats this shlishi, shalchun shanas al taras truma, not only is he not a sheni, but he's not even a shlishi. But I did the omer sheni b'kodesh, since Rabbi Yeshua said that he's considered a sheni as far as kodesh is concerned, omer nami ain't sheni b'truma. But he's also, as far as truma not concerned, not even a shlishi. Kamash Milan, that's why Ula had to teach us that he is considered a shlishi. He may not be considered a sheni as far as truma is concerned, but he is considered a shlishi as far as truma is concerned. Ask the Gemara, Eisei Rav Hanan Lula, it says in the Mishnah, Harishin Shebechulin, Harishin Shebechulin, is Tamei Matama. The sheni, as we've been learning, the furthest, the lowest step by Tum of Chulin is a sheni, and therefore it's Paisel V'Eni Matama. Hashlishi, Nechel B'Nezer Adama. That means, somebody who's a shlishi could eat food even though there's truma mixed in with it. Now, if we have the truma, the amrit, if you're going to say, as we've been learning, nifsal gufa melech truma, as Ula said, that somebody who's a shlishi may not eat truma, safinalem mita depasle begufe. How can we mix the truma into this food, which is a shlishi? That's one pshat, Rashi learns. Another pshat, Rashi's saying, is that he's making himself, the second pshat on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, is that he's making himself tamei. And a person is not allowed to make himself tamei. Omelet, to which Ula responds, Hanachlun Zira Dema, don't bring a raya from that case, to let Gazayas B'day Achilas Pras. Since there's such a low level of spice in this mixture, that's why it becomes bottle and Chazal weren't concerned. But, the Rishonim point out, it's only in a case that we're discussing where it's a low level tumma, where it's a shlishi l'tumma. So since it's a shlishi l'tumma, and it's only spice that becomes bottle, that's why Chazal weren't concerned. But if there isn't enough spice to eat kazayis of truma, b'chdei achilas pras. But if it was a higher level of truma, a rishon or a sheni, even though there's a very small amount of truma spice, that you can't eat it up in the shear of kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, Chazal would not be lenient.